Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
There is so much. I mean we've been educated on the air. Obviously, you know, God's taken us through a lot of learning, and we're learning out loud. As you can go listen and watch our programs. Oh, is that what that means? And you hear us as we progress, and things are revealed to us over time. But there's one thing I'm noticing, especially with this attack that took place, this act of war, as the president of France said, that happened in Paris, and is the misunderstanding of Islam. And, of course, they say 10% is radical jihadist mindset.
15, some reports.
Yeah, so that's like 300 million.
Yeah.
300 million radical jihadists, which is the population of America. Almost.
That's right.
That's an issue. But the thing about it is, outside of, you know, what political religions are doing and that type of thing, is the fact as Christians, and that's what we're always talking about, you know, our faith is in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? What is the context of that? And why are the Jews and Israel so important to us? And what does Islam, where did that come from? And where did this... You got to begin to look at these three religions and where they came from. And as a matter of fact, I want you to get this because, and we have something for you at the VFN Torch. It's called, you know, Islam 101 and all these different things to be able to understand and compares the Bible with the Quran and just to give you some knowledge so you can talk about it. It does matter. If you say Muhammad is the prophet of God, you're saying Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. I mean, a prophet means someone who speaks on behalf of God. If you say there is no Jesus and there is no Holy Spirit, you're denying the Trinity.
That's right.
And that you would be in agreement with what, you know, so it's very important. But the biggest thing, we're coming into these end times, you know, as Rick Wiles was talking about. And these are legitimate happenings taking place, and we need to understand our perspective on it. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this. This has done such an excellent way to kind of see where this all came from and how it will carry us all the way to the end, because somebody has to believe the opposite of what Jesus said, what the scriptures say, because they're going to make war against Christ. They're going to fight against Christ. There's somebody out there who is fighting against the Lamb of God, persecuting the church, beheading Christians. And isn't it interesting? It totally fits
the bill, right?
Totally fits the bill. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
In a plot twist so strange it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. there will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies. Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth that comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. It refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah or Jewish king who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
So when you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He bursts forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just burst forth from heaven, and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
It's so important to understand that God loves people. Everybody's created in the image and the likeness of God. God does not love false religion. God does not love things that deny his own son that he gave for us, that we might be in relationship with him. But he loves the people, the individual. The narrative has been promoted so well and merged so much that when people describe an Arab person, they just automatically call them a Muslim.
Right.
They're Arab, an Arab person, you know, Jordanian, a, you know, a Afghan. And it was interesting that when you see something bad happen to Afghanistan, they would say the Muslim people have been hurt. But when some of the Afghan people would do something wrong, they would say some of the Afghan people, and they would just, the whole narrative was like, when does it, the good, and it's just constant narrative. You know, God loves Muslims, you know, and, but the whole thing is the Muslim faith, the faith that says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that Jesus has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he's going to be the assistant to this Mahi that came, you know, that came out of the ground to put a mark, and that he's going to behead those who doesn't. That's not true. That's not going to happen. So you can love people, but you've got to stand up for Jesus Christ. You've got to stand up for the, in love. You cannot. And people with the narrative is going forth. It's like, you need to love Islam. You know, you need to love the Muslim faith. It's like, no, you need to love people who might be in the Muslim faith. You need to love people who might be involved in Islam. Yes, you should care for them, take care of them, you know, go the extra mile for them. But in regards to what you just saw, it's the antithesis, the total opposite of scriptures. You know, and not only that, that you just saw, they said that this Jesus, when he returns, who they say will deny himself of being the Son of God, repent for that, help the Mahi, that he'll also deny that the Holy Bible, the scripture, was not of God. And so you can't, you know, you can love people, but if people force you to say, if your true love for me is to love my God, you know, and my prophet, that's the antithesis of the gospels, of the word of God, of God and Jesus Christ, his son, you've got to, it's going, somebody says, well, that they're not going to like me. Everybody's not going to like you. Jesus said, they're going to treat you the same way they treated me.
That's right. No one's above the teacher.
You want to be liked more by God than you do want to be liked by people. And if people make you choose, and he says, listen, there'll be enemies even in your own household. You know, he says, the truth will come in there and it will divide a father and a son, and the biological family could be divided. What divides them? God's not dividing them. They're choosing which side of the truth to be on. It's not going to, it's for some reason, you know, America has presented the idea that being a Christian is popular. Well, world faith is popular, but being a Christian and loyal to God, you know, and not, I mean, obviously we're flawed. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But in your heart, you're going, Jesus is my Lord. You know, I may fall today, but I'm going to get back up. And when I get back up, I'm going to serve God. And there's a big difference in that. So you can embrace, and you should embrace, and God expects us to go the extra mile. It's not conditional. We should love all people, but you cannot love Jesus Christ and a religion that denies him at the same time. You're going to have to make up your mind. And no matter how well politically they're presenting this whole narrative, you can love the people and not love their religion. You can love them. You can go the extra mile for them. You can do business with them and all the different stuff, but you cannot embrace the anti-Jesus Christ as a Son of God religion and think that you're not unembracing God. This is Michelle Bachmann, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and Tony Perkins of Family Research Council, talking about how close we're getting in this end time. And it's important to understand this, that great deception is going to come. You know, you're going to have to know Christ. You're going to have to really... And the most important thing you have in this day and age is going to be your relationships. Who are you abiding with? You're abiding with Jesus Christ, and you're abiding with people who abide with Jesus Christ. That's going to be your greatest strength. But let's listen to what Tony Perkins is interviewing Michelle Bachmann in Jerusalem. She's realizing these prophecies are being filled. This just happened in Jerusalem. Watch out.
As we've talked about many times over the last week on this program, Michelle, there's also a spiritual component, and you can often see... You can see the spiritual aspects of this, you know, from one place to another, even here in Israel. And I think part of that spiritual component is why this little piece of land here in the Middle East called Israel is the focal point of literally the entire world, with so many wanting to eradicate it take it away, ignore it, boycott it, whatever it may be.
Well, that's right.
It's hard to explain.
It's hard to explain, and I think that our tour guide did a great job by saying that if you go back to the time of Genesis of Isaac and Ishmael, Ishmael wanted what God gave to Isaac and to Abraham, and that was the covenant. There was a covenant. God said he was going to bless Ishmael, and Arab nations have been blessed. Muslims have been blessed. He was going to bless the 12 princes, the 12 sons of Ishmael, but he was also going to bless the 12 sons of Jacob. But the land and the covenant was given to Isaac. Mm-hmm. And we know that Messiah, Jesus, came through that lineage. So there is a very special blessing. But we also see in the natural and in the spiritual that the jealousy continues, and yet that is the reality here in Israel.
Well, Michelle, let's talk a little bit as we come to the conclusion of this. And you, again, you've been here many times, but things are so fluid here. And in fact, as you and I were talking today on the bus reading the paper, I mean, things have changed. New information coming out each and every
almost
day.
Almost every article in the paper. Almost, right. And it ties with so much biblical prophecy. This week really was about biblical prophecy in many ways. And we're seeing that as events are speeding up, it seems like events are speeding up so quickly right now. And we see how relevant the Bible is. And we're reading our newspaper at the same time we're learning about these biblical events. And it's literally day by day by day, we're seeing the fulfillment of Scripture right in front of our eyes, even while we're on the ground. And I think, as I was just before I came in here, Tony, I was talking to a number of people on the tour. We are so inspired to go home. And we hunger and thirst for the Word. We want to understand Genesis to Revelation. And so I think you see believers who are committed to the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, sharing our faith more than we ever have before. We don't just leave here with a warm, fuzzy feeling toward Israel. What we have is the recognition that God has a divine plan. History is His story. We want to understand God's story so that we can do our part. He's given every one of us an assignment. We each want to fulfill our assignment in the kingdom of God and say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Let me kind of wrap up on that point, Michelle, as you leave. What do you see? And you could speak more broadly for kind of our entire group, but what do you see as the takeaways from this trip?
The takeaway is that the Jewish state of Israel truly is a miracle of the hand of God. This is a fulfillment of God's word. The prophets long to see the days that you and I live in. We've been able to walk not just and observe 2,000 years ago with Jesus and 4,000 years ago from the time of Abram. We literally are trotting on the soil that the prophets spoke of into the future thousands of years ago. We recognize the shortness of the hour, and that's why we as a remnant want to be faithful in these days and do what it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us to be faithful in the kingdom and to help bring in as many as we can, even among the Jews, share Jesus Christ with everyone that we possibly can, because again, He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
Wow.
That's what all this means.
Yeah.
You know, when you see these things happening, he says, look up, for your redemption draws near.
Right?
Yeah. And this is an exciting time, but the one thing we want to take with us, and the only thing you can take with you to heaven is souls, telling other people about it. And they're going to become more and more open, wanting to hear about the Lord. And these moments cause people to begin to ask questions about what they thought was normal.
We're starting to see that now more and more, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I'd like to refer the gentleman to the program that we gave some moments ago. Yeah. Let's say in Parliament. They're firing missiles off the coast of California. I mean, you know, when I was in the Navy, we would go way out, away from visual, but people couldn't see it.
Land or
and they got so close to the California coast, the military did, that they closed down the LAX and said, you cannot fly your planes here into here because we're going to be firing missiles off. And you could see these missiles as far away as New Mexico or Nevada. Mm. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is America. This is what's happening while all this craziness is going on. Now they're going to California and right off the coast and firing these huge atomic, obviously not atomic, and they're not armed, but firing those same missiles. Matter of fact, take a look at this.
Some very mysterious maneuvers over the Pacific are forcing a change in LAX landings late at night. Eyewitness News reporter Jory Rand tells us that means more noise for thousands of people in the flight path. He's live near the airport tonight. Jory?
That's right, Michelle. Something is going on out there over the Pacific Ocean. What it is, the military isn't saying. What we do know is that whatever is going on is causing planes which normally avoid flying over the flight path after midnight to ease up on some of that noise for folks. Well, they're going to keep doing that, and it's going to happen all night long. You may not know it because you're asleep by then, but every night after midnight, a change takes place at LAX. Instead of landing from the east over Inglewood, planes begin flying in from the west over the ocean to keep noise levels down. But due to secret military operations, the airspace out over the Pacific is closed to incoming flights for the next week. That means residents in the flight path will hear this all night long.
So I can imagine for the next week, they're going to fly over 24 hours? No, that's going to be crazy.
We clearly understand that neighbors and communities east of the airport will experience noise, and we apologize for that.
But what's causing the change? The military isn't talking. Even LAX is in the dark.
Any idea what the military operations are?
No.
All they know is planes can't be flying at low altitudes to the west. 6 years ago, Eyewitness News cameras captured this military operation in downtown L.A. Helicopters were seen swooping between high-rises, close enough that residents inside were able to see armed soldiers in camouflage just outside their windows. Authorities told us then it was part of a training exercise designed to ensure the military's ability to operate in urban environments and to prepare forces for upcoming overseas deployment. What's going on this week is a mystery.
And plus, if it's a military thing, it's a good thing. That means they're making it safer for us. So I wouldn't let it bother me. I'd be more interested in them not doing something about what's going on than them doing something about what's going on.
Now, it's been 40 years that LAX has been avoiding flying over land late at night. There will be occasional changes. For instance, when the winds come in from the east, they will reverse the flight path and planes will take off headed towards the east. So some residents there are used to this. As to what is exactly causing it this time, it remains unknown. We're live tonight at LAX. Jory Rand, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
So you're looking at, you know, what's going on. Well, let me show you what's going on. Take a look at this right now. They were firing missiles. You can see on your screen. This is the missiles they're firing. You show 1419 here. That is a missile being fired, a military missile. They're watching that happen. You can see as far back all the way to Nevada off of California's coast. These are military exercises taking place.
So close.
Right off the coast while all this craziness is taking place in Russia. Well, I want to pray right now. Father God, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you would protect the people of America, Father God, that you would protect Israel, Lord God, that you would awaken the church. Help us, Lord, to be with a grace to move in love, but in loyalty to you, Lord God. Help us to understand the importance of that the question is going to get bigger and bigger. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do we say that you are, Lord God? And I pray for your people to rise up, God, and begin to move and come together, and that a revival would begin to break out, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, Lord God, and you would prevent any harm coming to Israel. Save, Lord, Israel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thanks for joining us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.